Welcome to On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah, a podcast presented by ReformJudaism.org. Every week, Rabbi Rick Jacobs, the president of the Union for Reform Judaism, shares a new spin on the weekly Torah portion in just 10 minutes or less. Some weeks, he's joined by a special guest, and some weeks, he just shares his own perspective. On the Other Hand always provides a modern take on over 2,000 years of Jewish wisdom. This week, episode 64, is a special edition, and Rabbi Jacobs talks to us about Passover. He asks how Passover can elicit empathy in all of us, and whether or not it is the core story of what being Jewish is all about. And if you would like some more resources on how to do, what to do, and when to do Passover traditions, be sure to go to ReformJudaism.org.
This week, we focus our attention on the holiday of Passover. If you're listening to this podcast before Monday night's Seder, you're focused on getting ready and preparing, maybe journeying to someone's home for Seder. Maybe you're listening to this later in the week and you've already had the Sedarim, but you're still looking at that matzah. I want us to just take a deeper look at some of the themes, some of the big dimensions to this holiday, which arguably is still one of the most observed holidays in Jewish life. And I think this year, just to name it very, very directly, a lot of us are thinking about our families and thinking about the diversity of our families, right? We have people in all parts, maybe of the political spectrum, or maybe not. Maybe we're all in one part, and then there's that one aunt, that one cousin, that one uncle who's going to show up and want to just take on every one of these core issues that are in the Seder. So we're going to have to do our best as a Jewish people, not just as many of us who are citizens of the United States of America, to figure out how we actually can be with people who have different ritual ideas, different theological ideas, and maybe, yes, different political ideas. So as I think of Passover, I think of, you know, what's it about? All the rules, you can't eat this, you have to eat that. I think underneath Passover is one word, and I think it's underneath, frankly, most of the Jewish tradition, and the word is empathy. Can I experience something that has actually not happened to me directly in my life? Can I get inside of someone else's experience? And kind of the most direct piece of that is that little bit of dry flatbread called matzah, which is supposed to transport me in a moment of spiritual and ritual empathy to be a poor desert wanderer. I may be sitting in a nice home somewhere, a nice apartment in another part of our wider community, but at Seder, I got to remember what it was like to have almost nothing, what it was like to be literally on the move. And so we taste that matzah not to enjoy its flavor, but to be able to walk in someone else's shoes. And I think that for us this year, that is, that's a big challenge. And can we get inside of those hard places? So I think particularly about this one phrase that's in the Haggadah, the text that we use at Passover, Arami Oved Avi, oftentimes translated as my ancestor was a wandering Aramean. I could probably put a better 21st century, 2017, 5777 frame and say, my ancestor was a refugee. My ancestor had to flee. My ancestor had nowhere to go. And somehow they were able to reach whatever shores, whatever safe harbor they were able to find. I think for us to have Seder this year and not talk about the experience of being refugees is to miss the point. And so I'm going to think about my table and the people there, and I'm going to ask us all to tell a story about a refugee in our family. Maybe it was us. Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent. Maybe they came from Morocco or Poland or Germany, but we're going to make this not about everyone else, but we're going to try and reclaim a first-person narrative of being a refugee. And I know at my Seder, we're going to look at the St. Louis, that ill-fated ship that set forth from Hamburg, Germany in 1939. hoping that those predominantly German Jews were going to find their way to safety. 935 people on that boat. They were hoping that they were going to find freedom, but the United States of America didn't want them. And they came to Havana, and then they had to go back, and a few hundred of them died in the Shoah and the Holocaust. When we talk about refugees today, and I was just a few weeks ago at Temple Am Shalom in Glencoe, Illinois, they welcomed the last Syrian Muslim family to the United States before the gates closed a few weeks back. I had a chance to visit with their Syrian Muslim family. It was extraordinary. Here they are being enveloped with love by a Reformed congregation in the Chicagoland community, and they have found safety for the first time in years. They've been living in refugee camps. Now, I know it's also for our country in the United States about national security. I get that. But remember, when the Jews on the St. Louis were turned away, people, including Franklin Delano Roosevelt, said, well, we don't know who these people are. And they may be even, you know, German spies who are going to come in the dress of refugees. So the conversation about the danger of those who we might let in is not a new conversation for us. But I would just want us to think about those Syrian Muslim refugees in the same way we think historically about the German Jews in particular, and the Jews coming from all of the endangered parts of Europe and even North Africa. If we have that empathy, if their story merges with the story I tell about my grandma Sophie, well, then I feel it in a completely different way. And then I don't need to actually taste the bitterness of the Marur. I got the bitterness of living with that kind of fear and vulnerability. So I know people often like to say, well, you know what, let's not make Seder about politics. Friends, Seder's about morality. It's about the things that matter most. And if we're going to have a Seder, and we're going to read from the Haggadah, we're going to read the Haggadah about a new king who rose up over Egypt, who knew not Joseph, who turned from the benevolent leader before to one who oppressed and brought a program of genocide. And the Jewish people rose up in resistance, and they spoke truth to power, and God somehow came to their aid and they left. We're going to tell that story. And by the way, that is the story in the Haggadah. That is the story in the book of Exodus. If we're going to tell that story, is that a story that isn't the core story of our people? Is that not the core story of what being Jewish is all about? Does it have political dimensions? Oh my goodness, it sure does. But at the core, it is a spiritual, moral story that we tell that unfortunately has been relived in different generations in different places. So when we tell the story, can we open ourselves to its incredible challenge? And when we think about those five rabbis sitting in B'nai Brak, I always love that section because those five rabbis are probably the most unlikely Seder mates, because they were so diverse. You had one very wealthy, one who led the rebellion against Rome, and you had others who were spiritual seekers. What I love about that narrative is, can we make sure this year to invite people who are not going to just agree with everything we already believe? Can we have someone sit at our Seder who's going to be that discordant voice, who's going to say, but is that really the only way to look at that text? Or could we flip it? Or you know what, I'm going to agitate a whole different way of thinking. If we can actually, at our tables, learn how to be with people who think differently and not scream, but respectfully discuss, learn, have empathy, have openness, this Seder this year can be transformative. It can give us a taste of what the world's supposed to be like. We can't be that way pretty much anywhere in our society. We get our news from sources that already agree with everything we believe. We choose to be friends with people who are somehow in our value and in our commitment circle. So if we can actually stretch ourselves, then frankly, the liberation will be the liberation from narrowness. Egypt is the place of narrowness, the place of narrow thoughts, narrow actions. And if we can find some new muscles so that we can actually be at the table and we can listen without exploding and we can share a different point of view without taking the whole Seder down, we will have done something absolutely redemptive. So I know this talk maybe is making you feel a little bit more anxious about Seder. Maybe you were anxious about the matzo balls before. Now you're anxious, oh my God, what if our Seder explodes? What if people run out the door and leave before we get to the afikomen or from the macaroons? I actually believe that this Seder is so powerful this year because of all the things we know are coursing through our families, coursing through our communities, coursing through our world. So I want to end on a hopeful note. I just heard a remarkable pastor who's the pastor of the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. That's, of course, where Martin Luther King Jr. Was a prophetic leader. And he shared this week a teaching from St. Augustine. The teaching is as follows, the great Catholic theologian. Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain as they are. So I don't want us to get angry at Seder, but I want us to have hope. And the hope is that we're going to a promised land. We're going to a better tomorrow. We're not there. We're not there as families. We're not there as a country. We're not there as a people. But we are going to that promised land. So with that sense of joy and hope and possibility, let's open the door, let's open our hearts, and let's have a Pesach that's not only meaningful, but maybe one that is truly transformative. Chag Sameach.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah. Want more? Download a new episode each Monday on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like what you hear, write us a review or share the podcast with a friend. For daily ongoing conversations about Jewish holidays, pop culture, current events, and more, visit reformjudaism.org and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. You can also follow Rabbi Jacobs on Twitter at @urjpresident. On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah is a project of the Union for Reform Judaism, a leading voice in the discussion of modern Jewish life. Until next week, v'hitra'ot.